Right now, it is time to bring in Brian Ross. It is time for Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning. We take a look at some of the news stories that are hanging out there. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall. Sorry, not feeling well.
You know, it can always, it's me and the cats. I just know whenever there's going to be a change of weather coming. But what the heck? At least with the old golfing term, I'm on the right side of the dirt. So there you go. You know, we got to look at some of the stories, and I, you know, one of the stories that really amazes me is the story that's coming out of Portland. It's been really blown out of proportion. Yes, there has been some rioting going on. Yes, the rioting really didn't start until after the federal agents came in. The president has been trying to make it look like the whole city of Portland is about to be burned down, when that nothing is farther from the truth.
Absolutely. And, you know, it depends a lot on where you get your news from. If you are a viewer of Fox News or you read the New York Post, you would think what you just said about Portland was absolutely true, that it was completely out of control, and that there was an urgent need to send in federal troops, federal agents. You know, that is not the case on the ground, as, you know, more straightforward reporters have indicated. And, you know, now we see a kind of a rapprochement between the federal government and the local government. They have a deal now to remove the federal agents as long as Portland promises to guard the courthouse, the federal courthouse there, which it would all along.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I guess escape most people, is that the local governments are charged with protecting these places anyway. And when you bring in, especially if you bring in Border Patrol agents, they just don't have the expertise to handle that situation, like state police don't have the expertise to handle what the Border Patrol does.
Exactly, and that's just not necessarily their fault, but they haven't been trained to do that. And in this case, the federal agents, this special sort of SWAT team, Special Forces Unit of the Border Patrol, has been roaming well beyond the courthouse.
Yeah.
Taking actions well beyond the courthouse. Now, when they guard the border, they can go beyond the border. This is different, though, in this case, and it has been an effort, really, out of Washington and by both the president and the attorney general to make an issue that did not exist, focusing on this issue while ignoring the issue that does exist, which is the continued spread and the surge in the virus around the country.
Well, you know, that is another thing that is absolutely amazing when you look at the country as a whole. Finally, some states are starting to plateau, simply because sooner or later you're going to get to that point. But the overall coverage has been mixed at best between the mainstream media, Fox News, and even people bringing into question, and this is the really sad part, Johns Hopkins University, which keeps just about the best data dashboard
right
on COVID-19, even they're being brought into question by some media accounts, by like Sinclair Media, and that's the biggest shame of all, that people just don't know who to turn to.
I think you're right, Marshall, when you put your finger on it. And this is, the gasoline's been added to the fire here by the President of the United States and his son, Donald Jr., who have been and were distributing this supposed conspiracy video. It was viewed almost 18 million times after President Trump posted it. A bunch of doctors, including one who runs a fundamentalist church in Houston and talks about demon sperm being one of the country's big problems, claiming that there's a cure for the COVID-19 already, that the hydroxychloroquine, which has been touted by President Trump, does in fact work. A variety of claims, also that it was a man-made thing, that somehow Tony Fauci was involved in spreading, which is, you know, just a pack of lies and half-truths. And yes, some in the media, certainly Sinclair and Fox News, but for the President of the United States to be pushing this out and speaking so highly of this woman is just stunning to me. And frankly, I don't think it's working in the way he thinks it is working.
No, but I don't see any, this administration, and I know, you know, I try to keep as level-headed as possible, but when you look at some of the things that this administration does, and just this past week, quoting the president quoting these doctors, and then upon further investigation, you see the kind of myriad past or checkered past with some of these physicians that he quotes. You just wonder, whatever happened to the buffer that the president had where people worked for him so things like this wouldn't happen?
Well, this is a different president, and the people who voted for him wanted somebody who would disrupt Washington. Their lives were disrupted, and they thought it was time that Washington was disrupted, and we certainly have that. That's you can't blame anybody. This is what the voters who wanted. This is what they wanted. They wanted the president to go in and shake things up. And he has, in ways they may not necessarily appreciate now, and certainly has shown a level of incompetence in handling the virus. But that's the president who was elected, one who would go in there and shake things up. And by that standard, he certainly has met the task.
Now, as an investigative reporter, I'm looking at I look at some stories coming on about, from Neil Gorsuch, and he, if these stories are true that and I've seen him quoted at several different places, he has not turned out to be quite the pick that Donald Trump really thought he was going to be.
Not in the least, and it was somewhat predictable. He was highly thought of. He served as the I think it was the chief judge of the 10th Circuit out in Denver, and he was well thought of there by on both sides of the aisle as somebody who would apply the law. And as we talked about last week, his decision to honor the 1860s treaties with the Creek tribe played out, and essentially he ruled essentially that a good chunk of Oklahoma remains an Indian reservation, which is not necessarily a practical outcome, but is in fact the letter of the law. So yes, he has surprised the supporters of President Trump, I'm sure. And I was reading quite a sort of a take on some of the more recent decisions that where we've seen people chosen by Republican presidents, you know, have come to be great surprises. Going back to Earl Warren, who was chosen by President Eisenhower, became one of the great liberal leaders of the Supreme Court.
Well, you just wonder where this is all going to lead to. But now,
One thing I'd add, Marshall, we should keep a close eye on Ruth Bader Ginsburg. People I talk to say they would not put it past the Republicans if she somehow does not survive this current cancer crisis to rush through a nominee before the end of the year, even after the election. Mitch McConnell would have the votes to do that.
Well, and what the interesting thing about that, and what most people don't understand, is that would really start a tete-a-tete, which could really undo the Supreme Court, because if the Democrats, let's just say, did win the presidency and control the Senate, you could add there is no rule about how many people can be on the Supreme Court.
That's right. That's right. There is no rule at all. That's by legislation. Congress could change that. And some of the people I've been talking to say that if somehow Ruth Bader Ginsburg or another justice did not live to the end of the year, and that President Trump and the Republican Senate pushed through another nominee, they would not put it past the Democrats at that point to try to say, well, you're going to play that way, we're going to play this way. And that would, as you say, I think would sort of unearthly and unsettled the foundations in which the Supreme Court, which we've all accepted, are the rules. You know, President Roosevelt tried to do that back in the 30s and was pushed back by Congress, but he gave it a shot.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see, because the nuclear option already has been exercised
right
by the Congress, not the Senate yet, But, you know, the tit-for-tat which is going on in politics in Washington, D.C., is at a level which I've never seen it.
It is stunning. I mean, I think you saw some of this when Newt Gingrich ran the House and Republicans controlled the House, but this is really severe, and it's something that everyone needs, no matter what your positions are, everyone needs to keep a close eye on what's going on there. They can't agree on a stimulus package right now, and they're having a hard time. The negotiation has just fallen apart, so they're far apart there on just helping average Americans try to get through this COVID-19 pandemic crisis.
And that's because, once again, COVID-19 has been painted in political terms, not in health terms.
Exactly. And I think that's been the failure. And I think if you look at the public opinion polls, Americans have caught on that the only way to a better economy is to first solve the health care crisis, not the other way around.
So what do you think is going to happen next week when Joe Biden announces his vice presidential pick?
I will be watching closely, and you say next week because that's what they said. I wouldn't put it past him to pull a surprise and do it sooner. I mean, I think it's, you know, there's an element of surprise and excitement, and you could not rule anything out. You saw the little notes that the photographer caught in Biden's speaking points he had at his last news conference suggesting Senator Harris of California was the leader, but I don't know. Everyone I've talked to says the biggest and most important voice in all of this will be Jill Biden, a former vice president's wife. She will be, and she is one of his closest advisors, obviously. She'll have a big role in this.
Well, the next several weeks are going to be extremely interesting when you look at the coronavirus. We're not even yet finished with our first battle with coronavirus, and we're already entering August, and September is not that far behind when flu season starts. So we're going to have a very topsy-turvy run-up to the November elections.
Without a doubt, and then it was sort of buried a little bit, but out there this morning are some new studies about vaccines that have been extremely effective in monkeys, not in humans, but in monkeys, but they are pretty close to us in terms of their reactions to diseases. One there in particular gave, with just one dose, extremely strong protection. So that's the other factor that will be closely watched, and that's a game changer more than almost anything else.
All right. Well, we will speak with you again and see what partakes next week.
We'll have a lot to talk about next week for sure.
Okay, Brian, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
That is Real News with Brian Ross here on Robin Hood Radio.